Good evening and happy Sabbath. I'm back in New Jersey. How you doing, brother? It's so awesome to see so many of you out tonight. It's a cold night, and you have taken the time, instead of going to bed early, you know, after a nice meal, going to bed early, you didn't do that. You were obedient to the call, and you listened to what your administrators said, that we're going to do some training tonight, and you're here. Let me ask, is how many of you are not members of this church? Let me see your hands. All right, a few from other churches. Well, praise God. We're glad that you're here. And what we're wanting to do is to be able to equip you, give you some tools that will be helpful for you going forward. I just want to thank our president, Pastor Aguera, for his vision and the collective vision of he and Pastor Thorpe and the treasurer, the entire evangelism department, just looking at how can we grow more. Because this is what we're supposed to be about, isn't it? If we're stagnant, we die, right? And evangelism is the lifeblood of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. When we stop doing evangelism, the church dies. We stagnate. And when we stagnate, we begin to nitpick at each other. And guess what? We find faults with one another. Next thing, this person is not coming to church. Then the other person stops coming to church. And little by little, we're seeing some of our large churches, the numbers dwindling down. I met a pastor just this week in Colorado. And he says that the membership at his church is 1,100, and they have about 130, or about 150 coming. And more we're seeing this around the division. We want to turn that around, can we? Because we have a mandate from God. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. We have a job to do, to teach. That means we have to spend some time in the Word ourselves, right? So we can teach that which we have. And so we are glad that we can come and partner with you. As your president said, that they have invested in you. In the pastors and churches with all the resource that Voice of Prophecy has. Let me share with you what Sean's vision is. Sean's vision is this. When he came to the Voice of Prophecy in 2014, Voice of Prophecy was had declined quite a bit. And there are those who say that they didn't know if Voice of Prophecy was going to make it or not. Sean, in the small team that he had at the time, began to vision. And Sean says he saw that as a pastor, he had to try to bring whatever resources that he could to do evangelism. But when he had first went to It Is Written, which is where he was first in Canada, he saw that the toys that he had as a speaker director for It Is Written was way, way better than what pastors had. Then, some of you might know, he got ill, and then he went to the division for a while, and then he came to Voice of Prophecy. When he came to Voice of Prophecy, again, all the tools that he had, he says, Lord, if you would help me to be able to equip the local church and the local pastor with all the tools that we can produce, that Voice of Prophecy can produce, that's what he wanted to do. And that vision has been growing for the past 4 or 5 years, and now we're able to unveil many of that. Now, we're still a small team, and we're working very, very long hours to make this happen. And so continue to pray for Voice of Prophecy. Continue to pray for our creative team. We are producing stuff that some of our graphics are up to like 12K. You know, that's high resolution stuff, and it's being produced in-house. We don't have to pay other people royalty for what is being produced, our own creative team. And so we can make that available to pastors so that pastors can use the material, elders can use the material, anyone who is a part of the discovery centers can use the material and preach it, and you don't have to worry about copyright because we have franchised that to this conference and to the local church. And so it's exciting what's happening, and we're thankful that God had placed that vision on Sean's heart. And so so we're building the team. I came to Voice of Prophecy. December will be 1 year since I've been with the team, and it is exciting what is happening. It's amazing to go around to different conferences and talk to different pastors. We come to camp meetings and we talk to people. People are wanting resource. People are wanting to revive their dying churches. Friends, 80% of our churches have plateaued and are declining. And that's so unfortunate. But that's not only in Adventism, it's all across the board. Other churches, as other denominations as well. And so we want to be able to equip you. If you are excited enough about this thing, if you feel that God has placed something on your heart that I want to be able to reach others for God, I believe we have the tools that will be able to help you. Amen. I want to just touch on something real quick in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Amazing there. I see three letters. And those three letters, I believe, will catapult us and help us before I get into our presentation. Just let me share real quick with you. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 20, or verse 19. Word of God says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." There's nothing that we have, nothing that we possess that gives us that boldness, but is the blood of Jesus. We know what Christ has done for us. Amen? And because of what he has done, then we're able to come boldly. Verse 20 says, "By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God," verse 22 says, "let us," what? "Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So that was the first "let us." Let us draw near together. See, when we draw near, we can encourage one another. When we draw near and we get lonely and we feel discouraged, the other person is right there to help the other person and lift that person up as we're doing the work that God has called us to do. I don't have time to preach this, but let me just go into the second one. Verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful," that what? That promise. So we're going to hold fast, you know? We're going to hold on to this thing like our lives depend on it, and it does. We have been commissioned. We have been called to do a special work in Wayne, in all the towns around New Jersey and other places. We have been called. And so we have a special work to do. And so the Word of God says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith." Friends, Satan is going to try to discourage you and try to get you down. Hold fast. He's going to try to put all kinds of obstacles in your way. Hold fast. He's going to say you don't have what it takes to do it. Hold fast, because you do. God has given you the tools that you need. And then verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love," and what? "Good works." We're not saved by our works, but because we are anchored in Jesus, because we are saved, good works naturally come from our lives. That word there for provoke, it's like the cowboy having the spur on the back of his boots. And when he wants the horse to go, what he does? He kicks the horse and he catapults forward. The horse jumps forward. We're provoking, and that's the King James Version way of saying, we are trying to help each other. Come on, brother, let's go and go knock on some doors. Huh? Come on, sit. Let's go pass out some flyers. Let's go do a little bit more than we've been doing last year, you know, or last month or last week. We can start all over again. We can provoke each other onto good works. So with that said, I just want to encourage you a little bit that God has a work for each and every one of us to do. It may be in our classroom. There's a fellow student. It may be at work somewhere. It may be someone that you meet at the gas station. It may be a family member. It's, you know, wherever God placed you, perhaps he's placed you there for a reason to encourage someone. Let's jump into this part of the training where we want to develop Bible schools all across the United States. Currently, we have about 2,100 Bible schools in the North American division. That means we have about 6,500 churches in North America. So we have about 2,100 churches that have a Bible school. I'm not sure if there's one right here in Wayne or wherever your church is, that if there's one there. However, if you do not have one, guess what? Your president has made it possible so that you can develop a Bible school. And guess what? The Bible school bundle that the Voice of Prophecy offers is absolutely free, even if your president didn't pay for that. It's free. And it comes with it. So it's any church can sign up and have a Bible school in your church. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to try to touch on as many parts of this. We're not going to keep you long, but because we want some of you to, we want you to come to Tranquility tomorrow. Amen? Amen. All right, I got a good amen from the back, but I don't know about some of the other places here. But we you know, coming to the training, I think that's going to be helpful for you. Bring your notebooks and come on, and we're going to just do the Lord's work. All right. Let me say a word of prayer, and then we jump right into this. Father God, we do thank you and praise you for your mercy, your goodness, and your grace towards us. Lord, you have brought us here this evening for a purpose. And I pray, dear God, that that purpose will solidify and that we'll be able to just gain knowledge, gain an experience that will help us to do ministry for you. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What is a Bible school? Well, here's what a Bible school is. A Bible school is where it's something that begins right in the local church. Okay? This is not something that is remote. It's right there in your church. It's local. It's a Bible study outreach ministry. It's based in your church where you as the members, you are the ones that are seeking the students. Okay? Also, you are the ones that are given the Bible study. We're not going to depend on the pastor to give the Bible study. You're going to depend on you to do the Bible study. Is that all right? Because we each have a responsibility and we have a work that we need to do. And I'm going to share with you the five methods in which you can give these Bible studies, all right? One, you can do it one-on-one, all right? So I'm studying with my dear sister right here. What's your name?
Anna.
Sister Anna. Sister Anna and I, we're studying along with her husband. We're going to do this one-on-one. Then, if you have a small group in your home, you can invite a new person and do small group study as well, which I know that this conference is big on small groups, right? Is that an amen? This conference is big on small groups. Now, is it that small groups is only big in the Hispanic churches? Is that the case? All right. Thank you for the answer. You know, so small groups, I've been to South America teaching this. I've been to Antigua teaching this. I've been to different places teaching this. And you know what? Sometimes we give excuses and we say, oh, small groups don't work. But we see all around us where other folks are doing small groups and it's working. When I was at the seminary, I took every class I could. Well, every class that was available on small groups. I took all the advanced classes that I could, storyboarding and all this kind of stuff, how to, you know, build in the small group. And so this is an extremely important area. When you look at the church of Acts chapter 2, they were in and out of each other's lives on a daily basis. Not just on Saturdays, but daily. You build community by spending time with each other, you know? Having a meal together, studying the Bible together, going and doing an activity together, having your children interact with other, you know, another family's children, just working together, doing all kinds of things together. And so small groups is one of those great ways in which this is done. Also, video or DVD, you may have the studies and you're just exchanging the study. Just give the person this DVD that talks about whatever that subject is, and then you pick that up and give it to them and see how they're doing, and you could have prayer with them. You let them know how they're tracking, and you're glad that they're doing it. You're encouraging them, because what you're doing with these is that you're building relationship. It's all about relationship. Discipleship is about relationship, you know? So we have to do that. And then you can do it correspondently. Some people do it correspondently by just dropping it off or mailing it, all right? You can do it that way. And then, of course, studying with someone on the internet through the discoverbibleschools.com website. All right. Did I skip one? I think I did. All right. What Bible study materials are used? Now, in our tracking system, we not only have the Discover Bible Schools, but we have It Is Written, we have all the others. If you have some other lesson that you'd like to use, we're not telling you that you have to use Discover Bible Lesson, Bible Guides. We're not selfish. We want to share this thing with everybody, right? So if you, let's say Anna was studying over here at Wayne Church. Then she decided to move to New York. All right, this is New Jersey. She moved to New York, and she moved over to this church. Another church that have the tracking system, research and see that Anna is involved in the Bible study, and that she left off at lesson number 9. And so over at this church, she'll just continue with lesson number 10. Because this tracking system is a system that Wayne Church and Tranquility Church and all the other churches have access to. And the pastor can go in and see who is studying the Bible in his district. Okay? And so this is a system that is working really well. Not only just the tracking system there, but whenever there's a large event, like we did a huge event in Raleigh, North Carolina. We had over 1,500 people attend at some time. Most of the time it was 300 to 600 during the week. We had everyone registered into the system. If they bought a book, we know that this person bought a book on the Sabbath. This person bought a book on death. This person bought a book on salvation or whatever. And so when that person moves from one place to the other, another pastor is able to track that person and know that where that person is in their studies. Is that helpful? So you don't have to start all over from the beginning. You have some knowledge of where that individual is, and so you can help them along the way. All right? So you can use the Voice of Prophecy lessons or any other lesson, and you can build your team. All right? A crucial point to remember is this, is that the goal of every Discover Bible School is to make what kind of contact? Personal contact. Again, the personal touch. This is all about relationships. When I was coming up as a pastor, I worked with an evangelist where I was in Kansas City, Kansas, where my goal for the week was to knock on doors, and by the end of the week, I need to have 500 Bible studies. And you think that that's crazy. How could we do that? But we did it. I had 514 names by the end of the week. And by the time I got to my fifth and sixth week, it dwindled down to 30 to 40 solid people that I knew and was building and had built a relationship with. And these are people that I could invite now to the evangelistic series. So you're going around knocking on doors. Nowadays, you know, we have the Bible school to help us to do that. We do mail outs. People don't go out and do what we did back then that I know of anymore. But those were, that's how I came up doing evangelism. And so I'm not afraid to go out and knock on the door, you know. Hi, my name is Bill Payne, and we're giving free Bible studies in the area. I gave one to your neighbor down the street, and she thought that you know, if that's the case, don't lie. but I would like to leave one with you. Now, I don't take up your time. I leave it with you, and next week, this same time, I'll come back and give you the second one. And as you're going away, you said, oh, by the way, is there something that I can pray for you about? Right at the door, what are you doing? You're building a relationship. And so these are tools that you can use to help you along the way. So it's always a personal contact, all right? It also, this in the correspondence Bible studies, you at some point in time need to make contact with that person as well. You may be sending them in the mail, and you may never see that person, but keep on trying. Try to eventually be able to see the person. All right? Every person will need to be visited, and friendship needs to be established. Establish redemptive friendships with unchurched people as well as other Christians. Assist people in understanding the Bible and the Adventist message. These are the purposes why we have Bible schools. And again, if you don't have one, it's not very hard to start one. Okay? Students need to become, we try to help them to become a baptized Seventh-day Adventist. We try to stay with them through that process. Sometimes we get tired. A person does not make a decision, and so we feel that, oh man, they don't want, you know, because when I was doing those Bible studies with those 500 people, guess what? The second visit that I made with them, the dog ate it, the baby ate it, you know, something always happened to the lesson. They don't believe you're coming back. And when I came back the second time and they gave me their excuse, I said, oh, that's no problem, I have another one just for you. You know, you give them the other one, and it's not until my third or fourth visit they saw that I was serious. You see? And so sometimes people, you come the first time, the second time, and then the third time they see that you're serious, and then they will get serious, and then they begin study. As they begin to study now, you're building that relationship with them. And it's working out really, really well. All right? So Sometimes we drop people. We give up early. Jesus didn't give up on us early, did he? So we can't give up on them either. We have to stay with them. And even if there are people that I know of that have studied for years, and probably you know as well, they've studied for years before they became Seventh-day Adventist Christians, you know, before they make a decision. So it's extremely important that we stay the course when we're studying with people. Amen? All right, what are some of the resources that we have? All right, Discover Bible School Handbook. We have a handbook. It tells us how to organize the Discover Bible School and how to implement the five ways of giving Bible studies and how to make visits and many, many more information. Also, it tells you about the Bible guides, and all that information is right there. So these are they. We also have it in Spanish as well as in English. And so we have that resource. It's a matter of when you start your Bible school, it's a matter of you get one of those and it'll walk you through. All right. Discover Bible School and Voice of Prophecy Bible School. There's on a weekly basis, we have people at the office who their job is to grade lessons. Hundreds of lessons are coming in from around the division, okay? From prisons, from different places. And so we make sure that we go through them, and each person, they're logged into our tracking system. Now, if a local church claims a zip code or that person, where that person is studying from, then we send that information to the local church. Because, remember, Voice of Prophecy doesn't have a church out there. You do. And so whatever zip code you're in, we want to make sure that we connect that individual to your church, the closest church that is there. So no Discover Bible School. When they don't claim the person or the zip code, then we will continue to study with them throughout the end. Now listen to this. If you want to graduate, say, 30 people, you have to be studying with about 100 people. Again, it's a numbers thing. It's a numbers game. You know, I hate to say it that way, but that's the reality. You have to knock on a number of doors in order to get the yeses. You know, we all want the yes right away, don't we? But that's not the reality. That is not the reality, folks. People, they give all kinds of excuses. They're busy, this and that going on. And most people that start won't finish. So it's about a 30% finish rate. So if you want to have 100 people, then you're going to have to go 100. You have to go 7. You're right. So again, it's a numbers thing. In North Carolina, when we did this, the mail out, we were getting somewhere around 12, over 12 return per 1,000. In most places, we get about 4 per 1,000. Okay? So depending on how hard an area is, the Bible Belt, people, they respond. But then their finish rate is, on an average, is about 30%. Okay? That should be helpful as we go forward. So the evangelism cycle now. We try to use the agriculture motif in sowing seeds and so on. So Jesus, he talks about the field being ripe for the harvest, and he uses the parable of the sower, and that workers are needed. We need to get out there and do the work. We need to go out there, and he has so called us to be farmers, to go out and just sow the seed. We can't make the seed grow, but we go out and we sow the seed. We water the seed. We pray over the seed. But God is the one that makes it to grow. So we don't want to think that, oh, I'm anybody special about doing soul winning. I'm just a willing heart. And I'm willing to go and knock on a door, and by God's grace, someone opens that door, and I give them a smile. And I said, I just talked to them a little bit and said, would you like to study the Bible? And sometimes there are people that are just waiting for somebody like you and me to come along to help them. All right? So he talks about the steps in the soil. You have soil preparation, you have the planting, you have the weeding, you have the fertilizing, you have the watering, the reaping, and the preservation of the harvest. And then the cycle continues to repeat itself. The Bible is where they find hope for their daily living. Amen. Somebody says that evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to what? Where to find bread. That's all it is. That's all it is. And we have to be willing to go. It is where they find eternal salvation in the Word of God, in Bible study. And we have to, Bible literacy has been on the decline. People are not studying enough anymore, and we need to encourage that more and more. So your Discover Bible School provides people with the opportunity to study the Bible and to find eternal life in whom? In Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So how do you start a Discover Bible School? Okay, we're going to talk about the steps here. There are 10 steps in doing this. And let me look. Okay, we're doing okay. We'll, again, I won't be abusive to you. I will in no way finish all my material tonight, but we will. I encourage you to come tomorrow where I might have a little bit more time. So step number one, gather the information. So if you are a member here at Wayne Seventh-day Adventist Church and you do not have a Bible school going, here are the steps that you should take in starting one, all right? So you gather the information. Contact the Voice of Prophecy and order the free Discover Bible School information packet. Okay, so you'll get all that information. Then number two, you get authorization, review the materials in the packet, have your church board discuss the matter, and obtain a vote for the establishment of a Discover Bible School. So you want to just go through the process. It should be something where not just one person. If one person have to do it, then fine. But if you could build a team, imagine a small group having the purpose of establishing a Discover Bible School. That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Y'all getting tired on me already? That would be pretty cool. So those are the two steps that you would take first. You want to talk about it. Don't just start it, but talk about it. Make sure that you have buy-in, because this is going to take a budget. You know, you're going to have to get cards, you know, enrollment cards and the Bible studies and so on and so forth. So you want to be able to do that. Step number three is this. Put together the team. Select your Discover Bible School team and a Discover Bible School coordinator and an assistant coordinator as part of your church's selection process. And also, the Bible School coordinator position is an elected church office position, and that was done, it's in the updated church manual in 2016, page 101. It's there. Okay, so it is an official position, the Bible School coordinator. The Bible School coordinator now, the Bible School coordinator organizes and coordinates the church's Bible School outreach ministry to the community, and the coordinator should work closely with the pastor, the interest coordinator, and the personal ministry. So those are, friends, sometimes when we get to the board meeting, we spend a lot of time on the finances. We spend a lot of time on the carpet, and, you know, what should we do with this? But you know what? The number one work of the church board is evangelism. And so spend time in doing that. Don't put it way at the end when everybody tired and want to go home and, you know, you don't have time to really put teeth into it. But discuss it. It's important. It's what God has called us to do. Evangelism. You know, make disciples. So that's a huge part of that. Step number four, develop goals and priorities. Decide which of the five methods of giving Bible studies your Discover Bible School will follow, and decide on which Bible lessons to use and method of advertising. Okay? Some churches may have a larger budget than others, so that will determine how much advertising that you want to do. But there's lots of free advertising that you can do. Public service announcements, there are free parts of the newspaper, there's, you know, social media, there, you know, you have all kinds of things that you can do now, okay? And so use those, look at, you know, develop a plan, and that plan is something that includes your advertising piece. Step number five, develop a financial plan, and then what you do is next you order your supplies. Voice of Prophecy for the Discover Centers, we are offering, everything is at cost. We're not making money off of Bible lessons and the Bible cards and so on. To mail out 1,000, I believe it's somewhere around $225 per 1,000. And that's the card, the stamp, and mailing it out. So you would look at your zip code, and if you can only cover 5,000 in your zip code, then you want to know your carrier routes. And when you call Sermon View or some of the different places that does these mail outs, they can tell you what streets are along those carrier routes that will cover, you know, close to your church area. All right? So that's step five. I'm going to run through the 10 steps, and then we'll stop for some questions, all right? Number six, register your school. So when you do that, you just register your school with VOP. You will list your zip codes, and your register form includes the, what does it say? Yes. All right, number seven. Organize a school. Obtain a post office box. Now, this is sometimes, we know that when people see the name Seventh-day Adventist, we're not ashamed of that. But sometimes when they see the name Seventh-day Adventist, they automatically put up their roadblock. And so you have a, so if you, when you start your when you start your Bible school and you open up your post office box, don't say Wayne Seventh-day Adventist Church. Okay, you could just put, you know, Discover Bible School and your address, your post office box. And that way people will mail to your post office box. And on a weekly basis, you go and pick up the mail that comes in. All right. We know that, and we've been told that people, they put up their blocks when they see that. But so many people who have come to truth, had they seen the name up front, they would not have, because all of a sudden, when they see Seventh-day Adventist, they just put up a roadblock because of what other people have said. Okay, so you see, their Discover and your address. Then number eight, know your resource. Read the Discover Bible School manual and review the online resource catalog. See what's available. Step number nine, arrange for training by telephone consultation. The Voice of Prophecy Headquarters Bible School team can assist with consultation and answer your questions when you start your school. So we just got another request to go out to Loma Linda. When we go to Loma Linda, there are several churches that come together, and we do training just like this. And Kurt Johnson, he is the World Bible School director. And so he's been doing this thing since the inception of Discover Bible School. So he has way more knowledge. He has way more knowledge than I do. And so he has some other techniques that could be helpful as well. But we work as a team. We sit down and we train and we talk about what needs to be done and what needs to be said. And so we try to help you as much as possible. We also have those who are great in the lessons and those who work in the Bible school. And they're there to help to answer questions that you will have. So whatever questions you have, just call into VOP and we will get that answer for you. And number 10, know your lesson. It is very important that those who work with the Discover Bible School knows the content of the lessons well and study them for yourself, so that you can answer the questions that you need to answer. All right. Let me stop for a little while. Maybe you might have a question that something is unclear to you, or you may want some, you have a comment or something to share. Yes, Pastor.
If we want to start the Bible school online, how works?
Online.
Yes.
Okay. Internet. All right. So you do have that option. So you have a student, right? You sign them up. They will have their email address. And so they go online and they fill out the lesson, they read the lesson, and they fill it out online, and then you will be able to see it as well. Yeah, so you'll be able to see it as well, and then it's a kind of a back and forth kind of thing. But you do want to make contact with that person eventually in terms of seeing them face to face. Okay?
I thought so. I know at our last one of our church boards recently, the New Jersey Conference is paying. They paid the Voice of Prophecy money to have this program, right? Mm-hmm. Are a lot of materials included in this? What's included in the money that the New Jersey Conference gave to the Voice of Prophecy?
Okay. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to talk about the Discovery Centers. In the Discovery Centers, there are 5 bundles that the conference has purchased. The first bundle is it's free. It's any church, any Adventist church can get a Discover Bible School. The first bundle includes that. It includes a tracking system. The second bundle is the children's Discovery Mountain. Discovery Mountain includes the VBS. It includes the materials that we're developing. Right now, I am working on developing children's lessons that goes along with Sean's full message evangelism. When a Revelation Speaks Peace meeting is going on at your church, you can also have the children's lessons to go along to match each night. So the second tier are our children's division, and we're constantly working on more and more material as time go along. Okay, the third tier is our evangelism tier, or evangelism bundle. The evangelism bundle is where all of Sean's sermons are available to the local pastor or an elder who is going to do a meeting, all right? Along with that are the trainings that we do. We do a lot of training because it's only 4 of us. It's Sean, it's Kurt Johnson, it's Alex Rodriguez, and myself. And so trying to service the entire division, we end up doing a lot of training in our studio. And then that is uploaded to the website for training purposes. And so giving tools to the local church. And one of the, now you guys are big on small groups, but one of the training that I did was on how Sabbath school and small groups ministry naturally complements each other, okay? Kurt Johnson also did some training on the Discover Bible School. Alex did some training on the cycle of evangelism. Sean did training on, he did training on what is evangelism, okay? So we're constantly developing. There's another piece that we have that is called Shop Talk. So we'll take different topics and build on them so that the local pastor, the local church can download that. And but that's not all in the evangelism. That is in the education bundle as well. So it's all these different places that there are information that that the local church can have. So as we come alongside the local church, these sermons that Sean has developed and we have, they've spent thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars on graphics and developing these slides that is able to be free, royalty free. You don't have to pay anybody for copyright. All of that is being made available, and the training. So while we can't go to every church and every conference to do the training, we're doing it from the office and saying just download that and that will help you. But we're also available to come. Like, I'm here right now. They're having a sponsorship weekend in Atlanta, so most of them are there. But we go all over the country to do training. All right?
In the morning, you're going to be at
Tranquility. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Question. Once we develop a Bible school, do you still grade those?
You do that.
Or we do? So you're going to train us to be able to grade the scripts?
Right.
Okay.
So what we want, remember, the Discover Bible School, it's a local school where you, the members, are the ones that involve in the student's life. And because that's where they're going to come to church. When you get to the point where you build that relationship and they make a decision for Christ or to become a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, they're going to come to your church. Yes.
Does the church has to purchase the lessons?
Yes. The lessons are not free, but we give them at cost. I think most of the other ones are maybe $5 to $7. I believe ours are something like $3.50 for Discovery Centers. So we're just offering them at cost. So that's why it's important to do a budget. You know, it's unfortunately evangelism is, there's a cost to it. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes money. You know, so we do have to budget for that. And these lessons, let me see if I go back to that slide. I don't know, some of you might remember the old Discovery, they're like just two color, maybe red and white, and now they're full, that's just beautiful lessons. There's also, what comes with these are also what's called talking points. And so when you go to visit someone, you know, you want to do your homework before you go. But you have some talking points that you will have about that particular topic. And these talking points helps you to interface with that student as you come to visit them. And so it helps to make life a lot easier as you as you're studying with your student. Do we have time to do the five methods? 30 minutes? Okay, all right. All right. Do you all need to kind of stretch a little bit? Are y'all doing okay? All right. We're going to run through these real quick. Five methods. It's not going to take me 30 minutes to go through them. All right, so the five methods of giving Bible studies. Number one, personal, correspondence, small group, DVD, and online. All right. Personal Bible studies, you want to spend about 55 minutes to an hour with them. Don't go way over that. You'll wear people out. And guess what? They may not retain what you want to talk about anyway. Just like most of you might retain about 20 to 30% of what you're hearing tonight. You're seeing it and you're hearing it, but it's when you get to the point where you're teaching it, that's when you retain somewhere around 80% of the material, right? The doorstep Bible study, review the answer sheet and the lessons, review answer sheet and the Bible guides. Take about 10 minutes to do that. By dropping off the lessons, the Bible studies, pick up answer sheet and drop off the next one. The person not ready yet to engage in much discussion, do a friendly or a quick visit, and that might take 5 to 10 minutes. Ask them, how was their week? You want to build a reputation, a friendship with them right there at the door, right? And so you spend a little time, how their family. Y'all don't know what the fourth method is? What was the F? Family. O is occupation. R is religion. And the T is testimony. So you can build that, in your mind. Just go through that. People love to talk about, usually, their family. They love to talk about what they do, what their passion is, or what they used to do if they're retired. You will know that. Then after you build that relationship with them, you bring in, that religion part, and you just kind of talk to them about that. And then you get to the point where you share your testimony and what God has done for you. And then they just kind of ask them and see how they're willing to share theirs as well. So you want to be engaging. Spend a little time with them, not wearing them out, but just spend enough time to pique their interest in these different areas. The correspondence Bible study. Mail the Bible guides and answer sheet through the mail. Students return the answer sheet and they keep the study guide. So you'll tell them that. The Bible guides 1 and 2 are sent one at a time, and the remainder of the lessons will go 2 at a time, okay? Visit a minimum of 3 times. One, after study on plan of salvation. Number 2, on the Sabbath. And 3, when they complete the set of the study guides, all right? So this is correspondently. You're not going to them every week. This is taking some time. And this is through the mail, so you do want to, but you do want to make contact with them, okay? And then invite them to a graduation at your local church. I've heard stories about churches that have a full-on graduation, cap and gown, and a nice little dinner for those who are graduating. Some people haven't graduated from anything. And for them to graduate from a Bible school, wow, make it a big deal. This is salvation, And so encourage them along those areas. Yes?
What is the frame time for a student to complete?
Yeah, that's really, 26 lessons, 26 weeks, if they do one a week. They may not do one a week. So it may be something that takes some time to be done. I have, well, you're going to start sending two, and the two, they may, I've had people that run through lessons just like that, and then some people, they just really slow, unless I nudge them a little bit. So it all depends on the student. But you, in terms of the male, I heard a story about it was Kurt Johnson who told a story that this person kept on dropping off the lessons. They drop off the lessons and they never get anything back, or the person is hardly ever there. All right, but the spirit just kind of told the person, just keep on doing that. And so they keep on dropping off the lesson. And after several, yes, all the lessons. And after several weeks, some way, somehow, the person mailed in all the lessons at a time. And they were done. Some people just, you know, different people go through different things. And so it's just amazing how the Spirit work with them. It's hard to put a time frame on that individual, you know. Some go faster and some go slower. Yes.
Just a quick question. So after these 27 lessons, are these students ready for baptism, or we have to work with them further for baptism?
Again, some people may have head knowledge, right? And because you have the head knowledge doesn't necessarily mean that you're ready for the baptism. You have to see. I would want that person to begin attending church before I would baptize them. People respond in different ways. Okay? So you, after the lessons are over, you could try doing something else. You could give them another book that, you know, that keeps the relationship going. They may be individuals who visit once in a while. You know, are they ready if they only visit once in a while? You want them to be solid. You don't want them to really be developing in Christ. And as you build that relationship with them, you will see where they are. Because another thing you're doing is, in these lessons, you're writing words of encouragement back to them. You see? You're saying good job on the lesson. You're saying, oh, you missed this, but let me share with you what this really means, because again, people sometimes, although they read something, they have a mindset that they have been taught from their young. You know, when you die, you go to heaven or you go to hell. You know, and that is hard for a lot of people who, when they see that truth, some of them grasp it right away. Some of them get numb. They can't believe that. What, my grandmother is not in heaven? What? You know? And so these are things that, you know, they're shockers. That sometimes people are shocked by the information that they learn. And so you want to, again, have that relationship with them in such a way that they're willing to talk to you. They trust you. They're sharing with you. They're sharing their feelings with you and what's happening. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to tell a testimony from my mom, mm-hmm. who studied the lessons from the Voice of Prophecy, or La Voz de la Esperanza in Spanish. And she studied all the lessons. And she heard the radio, the lessons, and as she took all the lessons, she didn't know anything about the Seventh-day Adventist. And she learned to sing the song for Del Durker and all the King Heralds. And she doesn't know anything about the Seventh-day Adventist until my sister got married, got her the children, and she has a nanny who invited us to the church. And then when my mom already knew a lot of things about the Seventh-day Adventist, no eating pork or all these things. That's why I bring this to the point, because it's very important, the relationship. Because if we don't do the relationship, the people know about many things, but I never had the relationship with the church.
By the way, I gave the Bible studies to her and to her daughter.
Amen.
I was just wondering if the 26 lessons are based on the 28 fundamental beliefs of the SCA Church.
Yes, they're primarily the doctrines. Yes, although they're 28.
Need to set up the graduation date.
Yes.
Okay, for that reason I made the question.
That's right. When the coordinator working with personal ministries and the pastor set up a community guest day, something like that, and then do a graduation and just make it a big deal for those individuals who are taking the lessons and are finished. Yes, sir. All right.
How can you incorporate these lessons to those who are incarcerated?
Well, you'd be surprised how many of them. So at the Voice of Prophecy, every Thursday, we are praying for all the requests that comes in. I would say maybe a third of the requests that comes in are from prisoners. And so they're doing these lessons and they're sending them in. It's amazing how that is being done. So yes, you definitely can.
At our church, we are actually having a gentleman who is in charge of prison ministry. And I think it's once a month we envelope, stamp, return address, stuff, letters, and Bible lessons and mail them out to the prison.
All right. So we've covered the one-on-one, right? The personal studies. We've covered the correspondence. We've covered the small groups. This is one of the most exciting one. Anybody? How many of you are part of a small group right now? Let me just see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. 6. You know, I went to Brazil to teach this. I don't know why they want us from America to come down to come teach them, because they're doing it way better than us. But they wanted some my professor from Andrews, he suggested that I go. I went to Salvador and I taught the 120 pastors there who were doing small groups. And then from there, we went to Brasilia, where they had a huge small group symposium. And there were 4,000 people there, and it was electrifying. It was something else. What happened is that from the conference office down, they are in a Bible study, a small group, or they are leading out in one. And so their commitment to it is that they are doing it themselves. And so that really, it's not just, well, pastor, if you want to do one, go ahead. Yeah, it's a part of their lifestyle. It's a part of their conference. It's what they do. And so their growth is off the chain because of that. Into America as well. I've been to into Cuba. Cuba, they do the house church and the small groups, and then each house church is a part of a mother church. And so you might have one church over here that have 30 or 40 people, another one, and then when they come to church on Sabbath, they're 600-700 people. It's amazing. And so small group is a lifestyle, is how they do church. It's amazing. So As the Godhead exists in perfect small group community, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit exist in perfect community, we have the joy of enter into community with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have that beautiful opportunity of just joining in that community, you see? And so the day, man, it's so hard to, okay, I see you on Sabbath and I'm gone. You know, I see you for that, what? A lot of people are coming to church at 11:30, 11 o'clock. So I get my hour in, hour and 15 minutes in, and then I'm gone. That's not what Christianity was meant to be. Read Acts chapter 2 and see the lifestyle of the people. They were in and out of each other's lives. And the largest churches in the world are built on small groups ministry. Paul Yonggi Cho, he started his small group because he was sick. He was sick and the Lord placed this on his heart. And he went to his elders. The elders didn't have time to do it. It was a lady in his church who would eventually become his mother-in-law. This is in Seoul, Korea. And she and some of the other ladies start doing small groups, right? And now the church boasts some 750,000 in membership. Okay? One man, God gave him an idea. He built on it, and 750,000 strong is his church now. So I heard this story that when his church was growing so fast that some Adventist pastors went to talk to him and interview him, ask him, how is it that you've been able to build such a system, build such a church? And he went back into his office. This is not an Adventist now. Went back into his office, came out, and showed them evangelism and gospel worker. Ellen G. White. Ellen White says, where there are large numbers in your church, let them be broken up into small companies so that they may minister not only for the members, but for the community as well. It's amazing, this thing. It's all over our scripture, spirit of prophecy. It should be what we're doing. The small group, small group, small group. It works. It works. The largest churches in the world are built on small group foundation.
Growing now, they have small groups.
Yes.
I'm talking about the Seventh-day Adventist churches. They are growing is using the small group. I went to California to see the Rick Warren Church. Is on Sunday he has three services, and every service is about 6,000 to 8,000 people. And we went by three, 1 hour earlier. This is the empty auditorium. But 1 hour later, it was full. Yes. And he said that this church is based in small groups. They have 23 ministries in the small groups.
And every member that comes, they get plugged into a small group. Because that's how we grow. That's how we grow. All right, let's move forward. The DVD, just taking the DVDs, Sean's sermons, going back and forth. This is the Revelation Speaks Peace DVDs. It could be Shadow Empire. It could be Pale Horse Rides. It could be the appearing. These are these shorter seminars that more documentary that Sean has developed. The new one that's coming out is Final Empire. And so that one is coming out in January. And again, as a church, you have access to that. This next one is 4 nights, beginning January 26, I believe, 23 through 2026. And so you have access to that. So listen, folks, it's, again, your conference have paid for this material for you to have, and you can use it. Yes.
The registration fee, none of our teachers have to pay because we are going to pay.
Right.
But the material.
Yes, you do have to buy the advertising material.
Let me mention, every church,
the biggest package that they have include the DVDs and the banner outside, inside, and all the materials. Is $2,700. The conference is going to pay the 50% for every church that decided to take the Final Empire.
Mm. Oh, man. Praise God. Yes. That's in January. This next one's coming up. Okay. Then the online, all right. This is a digital delivery to the appropriate Bible school, and it's again it's a lay Bible worker who directly corresponds with the student, and so that's it right there, the online piece, okay. It's the same Discover Bible guides. It's the same one. That is an area that there aren't a lot of ministries that are building, and we should. It's just something that we need to work on. Work on more material for young adults. We have for kids, we have for juniors, but when it comes to the young adults, we're lacking. We're lacking. But we do want them to have that foundation from there very early on, and so that when they get to the adolescence and the upper, the senior